ladies and gentlemen. We are live here on YouTube. I'm going to share these links real quick. We are live on YouTube. I'm going to update this to or upload this to the Google Podcast, Spotify Podcast. Apple Podcasts as well as a bunch of others. After this, I'll post it after I end the live stream. All right, so we're gonna review New Year's Evil. From the NXT show just ended. Overall, if I can make a blanket statement, I thought it was very, very good. I'm sorry, I'm sharing the link to Twitter now. That's why I'm. All right. Let's make sure here. All right, full attention now. Okay. The live stream is up. All right, so New Year's Evil 2022 just got done, and I thought it was a good show. I'll be honest. I think I had too high of expectations for the show. I came into tonight really thinking that it was going to change the face of NXT more than it did. In my opinion, I think there was really only one match that I disagreed with the finish with, and we're gonna break down, you know, everything that happened. So we'll start with the first match. The first match was Carmelo Hayes and Roderick Strong. Winner, you know, this is the unification of the titles match. Basically, if Roddy won, he took the North American Championship from Carmelo. Carmelo, if he would have won, then he would take the cruiserweight from Roddy. Right, essentially unifying the belts. Now, this match, while predictable, and here's why I say it's predictable. Because the dirt sheets have been saying since way before the Joe Gacy match, around the Joe Gacy match at the last takeover, the dirt sheets were predicting that WWE was thinking about ending the Cruiserweight Championship. And so for me, I figured this would be the way they would do it. Now, ultimately, that doesn't make it too predictable because Roddy could have won and then they could have still retired the Cruiserweight Championship and just made him the North American Championship. So it's not super predictable, but at the same time, I don't think, like, going into this match, you know, my thinking too was who would you rather take the title off of? And I just think Carmelo Hayes' run has been better. I think he's a better champion, and I think if you're going to use NXT in the way that that I would use it, which is the way at the moment is how they're using it, which is as developmental, growing a new set of talent, and to be honest, that isn't Roderick Strong. And so to me, it just wouldn't make sense to have Roderick Strong win this match. Carmelo Hayes did win. I'm glad that I very, 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 very much appreciate that's the booking that they did. Now the match in general, it wasn't my cup of tea, right? I'm not a big fan of the technical style. You know, my first thought, 3-4 minutes into it, I said to myself, I was like, man, this gives me, you know, indie bingo hall feel, right? This feels like every single match at the local indie show, right? When I would go to those, like, that's what this felt like. That doesn't mean that the match was bad. I thought the match was, I thought it was fantastic. Potentially match of the night. I thought it did its job in opening the show. I really, really liked it. It set a high energy level, not only in the crowd, but in terms of how the show would go. I thought it was a solid, solid match. Like I said, it wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, but at the same time, I did enjoy it. There is such thing as enjoying wrestling you don't necessarily like. And so, I highly, highly... I mean, I would give it like a 4-star. Like, 4 out of 5-star. Right now, my ratings aren't as official and aren't as strict as old Dave Meltzer over there. But I, I liked the match. It was good, right? It wasn't like the greatest thing in the world. It won't win match of the year, in my opinion. But it did its job. And then they did a good job having Hayes win. And I guess they're calling it the Unified NXT North American Championship. I would have just called it the North American Championship. I don't know. Maybe we'll see how that story leads from here with maybe if it's a new name. I heard they were going to call it the North American Cruiserweight Championship, which I hope they don't do, because that's still, when you hear the word cruiserweight, right, if a casual fan turned on the show and heard the word cruiserweight and saw someone like Joe Gacy in the match, right, they would just turn it off, right? They would just turn it off. If a casual fan, maybe who's a UFC fan who was flipping channels, saw that WWE had a show on, right, and then they turned it on and there's a Cruiserweight Championship match and Joe Gacy's in it, right? That was part of the, like, I understand the story behind, you know, Joe Gacy fighting for it. It just didn't seem realistic, especially with Roderick Strong win. It's just, to me, it's not believable if you're going to go off of, you know, weight classes. And so if they're going to get rid of the Cruiserweight title, I'm fine with it. I think it actually opens up the mid-card more. If you were going to have the Cruiserweight sort of be your mid-card, you really just, you got rid of 205 Live. Like, if y'all remember that, like, I don't even know if it was in October or if it was the cut before it, where they cut, like, literally all of 205 Live. They just got rid of the division, it seemed. I'm interested to see where it goes, but at the same time, I think Carmelo Hayes has to be the face of the mid-card right now until he reaches that level to he can challenge for the main NXT championship. If he even goes after it, because I could really see him, like, people think it's like a disgrace when you say I can see him being a really strong mid-carder for his entire career. But if you're, you know, like, to me, like, if I was mid-carder in NXT and they said, hey, this is your scene, we're going to go put you on SmackDown, you're going to go win the Intercontinental Championship, and we're going to book you every week, right? But you're going to be mid-card, you're never going to be top card. Like, to me, that would be fine, right? There's no shame in being, you know, a mid-card guy. It's different than being, like, a jobber. Right, I wouldn't want to sit there in this job every week. But there's no shame in saying, hey, you're going to be the first match on every pay-per-view. You're going to be the mid-card guy. That's what you're going to be known for. I don't think there's a shame in that. Right? All right, moving on. AJ Styles comes out to the ring. Calls out Grayson Waller, basically. Basically says that, you know, he got to WWE. He said, but shockingly, he regrets not going and debuting in NXT, that, you know, his debut was at the Rumble, and then within months he was at Mania, But and there's just he wishes he would have came to NXT earlier because there's something about it and it's their passion, not just the passion of the crowd, but the passion of the superstars. And he's and then he starts talking about basically trying to insinuate that Grayson Waller is or Waller, excuse me, Grayson Waller was destroying the passion of the locker room or whatever, right? And as soon as he says his name, of course, you know, in typical WWE fashion, if I mention you, you have to come to the ring type thing, right? So Grayson Waller comes straight to the ring, cuts a promo about, you know, how AJ lost to Omos on Monday Night Raw because he was too focused on Grayson Waller. That's the Grayson Waller effect. And, you know, AJ says, well, let's fight right now. I'm in my gear. We can have the match right now. And Waller says, well, no, we're going to have it next week. Which I think is fantastic booking. I was worried they were going to do the match without any promo of the match happening. So I'm glad they're giving it an extra week to, you know, build it. It gets people, one, to come in and tune in next week. But it also think about, you know, if AJ Styles goes to Raw and has another match. Knowing the Raw booking, he'll lose to Omos again next week on Raw, right? Right. Now, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Grayson Waller. I am. And I know people hate him. You know, if I was in the live crowd, I would boo him, but I'm a big fan of him. I think he just has that natural heel ability. And honestly, I would say it would be easier to me to be a heel, right? You know, when you growing up or, I mean, I still do it even now when I just, you know, bored by myself, right? Walking around or sitting on my couch watching TV, just sitting there bored. Hey, I'm going to practice my promos. And I tend to find that I am more of a natural heel, and I think that's more natural on people because it's more natural to be evil, and it's to me it's a lot more fun, right? And I know there's a lot of people, like I know Bailey said that she had to really come out of her shell when she became a heel because it was easier for her to be a face, and I think it's more so your personality. I mean, being a face is easy, but I would also, to me, it's not because I'm, to be honest, I'm a dick by birth. I can just, like, to me, being that a heel-hated character, right? And I know a lot of people don't like being booed, but I always feel if you're getting a reaction, good or bad, it's still a reaction, and that's how you get over in the business. And so what people don't realize, like, and this is industry-wide, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that if they don't want a certain character on the television or on TV or being booked, like, booing them isn't going to work. Because all they're going to do is either, if they're already a heel, they're just going to use the boos for their favor. And if they're a face, they'll turn them heel if they're smart and have them be that heel character that's already getting booed, right? But in the industry, you know, any reaction is good, right? You live off of reactions. So, I mean, you're going to boo Grayson Waller. If you don't want him on TV, just don't give him a reaction. Just stay silent. It's really that easy to get people removed off of TV, right? I'm happy for the match. It's going to be the main event. I'm assuming AJ's there to give him the rub. Because honestly, AJ has nothing left to gain from a victory here. Unless AJ's going to make a push towards the championship. And I don't think that'll happen. So after that, we also had a backstage segment at some point. These may be out of order in how they actually happened, but we'll still discuss them. I made a backstage segment. It was Amari Miller, Caden Carter, and what's her name? Casey Catanzaro. They were talking, and then we were interrupted by Indy and Persia. And basically, they said Persia accepted a handicap match, and Indy was like, yo, you got to stop doing handicaps. And then they turn around, and she said, well, we can have her. And it's Tiffany Stratton, and Tiffany walks off, says no, you know, on the phone with Daddy, you know, crying about how gross the other girls there are. And then Wendy Chu is sitting there in this new, the new gimmick. But first off, like, I didn't even know she had a new gimmick, that this was even a gimmick. I just been bothered, like, it sort of was annoying to me that there was just a fan week after week just sitting in the crowd with a pillow, and apparently it's Wendy Chu, and it's the new gimmick, though, and I don't understand it. And apparently now there's a six-woman tag match next week, with these six women involved. I'll be honest with you, I'm not into Kayden. I'm not into Casey. I just don't get the gimmick. I don't. I feel it's behind on the times. I don't necessarily think that they're the best as a tag team. I still think Casey Catanzaro has a lot to learn in the ring. She's athletic as all hell, and I'm big on that. I feel like she's been there for so long, and she just hasn't gone farther than, like, jobber status, that she's lost sort of that holy crap moment, right? Like, when she first debuted, right, a lot of people were big on Ninja Warrior, and she had just made headlines for being the first woman ever to make it to Mount Midoriyama, you know, the first woman ever to do the Warped Wall, and you know, they could have, WWE should have used that momentum to push her. I think she got hurt at some point, and that's sort of what slowed it down. I just don't think there's a lot of, you know, care about these two characters. Now, Amari Miller, I think there's still some hope for. She's one of the newer signees. If she can go over in this match, I'll be happy. Indy, Persia, and Wendy Chu, I don't care. The pairing makes no sense. Like, adding Wendy Chu to this is just, like, I don't know. I don't know where that gimmick goes. I think it's quite stupid, to be honest with you. Honestly, this is probably not going to be a match that I'm going to really care about for next week's episode, is that six-woman tag match. We then have Imperium versus MSK. And Riddle. So, I had some higher expectations, I think, for this match. I love Imperium. I'm glad they're champions. If this was like a match where it was Imperium versus MSK, and Walter wasn't in the match, and Riddle wasn't in the match, then Imperium was who I would have cheered for. But with Riddle being there, and as, you know, sort of seen by the reaction of him being there, he had one of the loudest pops of the night, one of the loudest cheers of the night. The dude is over as all hell. You can love him or hate him, but you got to understand that Matt Riddle he's over. You know, the whole bird shooting out of his feet when he kicks the slipper. Kicks the slides off, and that's annoying on the main roster. But you gotta love him or hate him, he's over. RK Bro, I should be here to stay. Like, if I was Randy Orton, what else? I mean, I would like him to have another world title picture, because I think he should be the one that breaks Ric Flair's record. I really do. But if RK-Bro stays a team, like, and they don't break it up, I'll be happy. Eventually, it's going to lead to a breakup. That's what these teams always end up with. But, I mean, and I guess there were reports that came out today that Riddle's role was supposed to go to Jeff Hardy before he got released. And I'm actually quite happy that it is Riddle. I think it fits better. The whole stoner gimmick type thing, I think it fits better. I don't know. There was a point in this show, like, I wanted to live tweet, And the reason I don't live tweet shows often is I get distracted too easily. In that, so I would tweet something, right? And then 15 minutes would go by. And this is what used to happen when I would live tweet things, is I'm too interactive in either responding to tweets or liking and retweeting things or just scrolling down the timeline. And so a lot of times if you want me to just watch a show, the phone has to be off, you know, put away. That way I'm not distracted, right? And so I started live tweeting, and there I was missing some parts of the match just because I would catch myself scrolling down the timeline, right? And so I don't know if I missed, like, the huge chops from Walter. You would hear them, though, right? You would think you would hear them, and I expected a lot more of this in terms of I really just wanted to see Riddle get his chest lit up. And I don't know if they didn't want to risk injury or what. I know there was at least one chop to Riddle, but, you know, the thing about Walter to me is, or the thing that really got him over is the chop and the when he would just like 20 chops in a row. And I wanted that for Riddle. I really thought that's the only reason they were doing this match. And so it's interesting. Ultimately, this is going to lead to the Dusty Cup. They did announce that the Dusty Cup for the men and the women's were coming back. I know the Creed brothers have already been in it. I'm assuming MSK will be in it because, you know, the winner of the Dusty Cup gets a tag team championship match opportunity. So I'm assuming MSK, I'm assuming the Creed brothers have already announced they're in it. I'm going to assume it's going to be Grizzled Young Veterans. Joe Gacy and Harlan did a promo where they're, I think they asked to be into it. So I'm going to assume, I'm trying to think of other tag teams. Jacket Time will probably be in it. Briggs and Jensen will probably be in it. And those are the guys I actually hope win just because I like that. I just like the tag team and the gimmick that they use. But ultimately, that's sort of where the tag team division is going to be, is the Dusty Cup. Riddle and MSK wins. I figured this would happen. They're not going to drop Riddle down to lose, especially as champion of Raw. Solid match. We then get the women's championship match, Raquel Gonzalez, Cora Jade, and champion Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose enters the premises in a helicopter. Cora Jade comes down on a skateboard, and Raquel comes in on a motorcycle. The one thing that annoyed me about Raquel's entrance is she rode in from like a side entrance, rode to the ramp, and then walked down the ramp. Like, she rode up the ramp and then walked back down the ramp. So if you were just going to, right, the motorcycle effect is cool, but if you're going to drive it back up the ramp anyway, you might as well just drove it down and parked it at the ramp instead of just driving around the ramp, or do what, you know, Undertaker used to do and drive around the ring and then park it at the base of the ramp. That's the only thing that really bothered me about the entrances. The match itself was good. It was really, really good. I don't want to say great. Again, not match of the year candidate. But I think it's really hard with triple threats to have a match of the year candidate. I think result-wise, the only thing I would have changed is I would have had Raquel eat the pin. And I say that because if you're going to move on from Raquel and she's not going to be in the competition. I think ultimately she's going to get moved up. I think she'll join the Women's Royal Rumble, and she'll show up there, and I think that'll be her call-up. A lot of what, you know, this is, in timing-wise, this is very interesting because a lot of what, you could probably, if Ciampa moves up, and we'll talk about Ciampa in a minute, but if Ciampa moves up, the Royal Rumble will probably be his debut. If Roddy moves up, Royal Rumble will probably be his debut. There's going to be a lot of women. I'm 100% looking forward to seeing Dakota Kai get caught up at the Royal Rumble. Raquel will probably be one of them. They're bringing in such a new batch of talent. It's either going to be cut or moved up, I think. If not both, like Hit Row did. But with this women's match, I would have had Raquel eat the pin just because I'm not a big fan of Cora Jade eating the pin here because it sort of slows her momentum. She still went off. I still think she did a lot of good in this match to boost her push. And ultimately, she's going to be, I think she will be the next champion and be the one to beat Mandy Rose. I really do think that'll happen. She's really going to be the one that they focus on and center this division, right? The mid-card's going to be focused around Carmelo Hayes. The women's division's going to be centered around, I think, Cora Jade. The tag team, there's a bunch of new tag teams that'll be in the Dusty Cup. And I think they'll center around them. And then the main card, of course, we'll talk about that in a minute. Actually, we'll talk about it now because there's not a lot to talk about with the women's match that I haven't already said. It was a really solid match. Cora Jade did what they needed to do with Cora Jade to continue her to be pushed. I just wouldn't have had her eat the pin. Mandy should have retained. I had to put away my feel. Cora Jade is my favorite women's wrestler active in the industry today solely because of her upside, right? Right, Dakota Kai is one of my favorites, but Cora Jade, I mean, if you think about how her career has changed in the last, you know, let's just say year, she went from eating pins, jobbing on AEW Dark, to in the world title picture on NXT, right? Completely different in how she was being booked. And she's over. She is over. She may have, other than Riddle, she may have had the second loudest crowd chant for her name. I mean, even in the, there was a spot where, you know, Cora Jade was taken out outside the ring. And there was a spot between Mandy and Raquel, and there was a chant. To me, it sounded like, let's go Mandy, let's go Cora. In the part of the match where presentation-wise, Cora was removed from the picture, right? And the way the announcers were saying, oh, she's wiped out, she's not going to come back from what she just faced, right? And then, of course, it leads to, oh, where the hell did Cora Jade come from, right? But she's still got the crowd involvement in it. She's over to the moon, over. Speaking of to the moon, Cameron Grimes cuts a vignette. He says, you know, 2021, he went from the highs to the lows, you know, from being a butler to being champion to, you know, doing, you know, all the money. And he says, I'm going to stop focusing on green in 2022. I'm going to focus on gold. I think he'll be in the, he's already been in the North American Championship picture though. So he's either going to stay in NXT and go after Bron Breakker, or he'll be one of the call-ups as well in the Royal Rumble. I just don't see him any use of him being in the mid-card. Because you have such a huge amount of talent in the mid card that you could use the North American Championship to elevate. You can elevate certain talent. Like Odyssey Jones, I think have him have another like feud with Carmelo Hayes. I'm going to keep Hayes as the champion. But even if Hayes loses the belt, you could still elevate Hayes to world title picture while elevating Odyssey Jones. Right? Honestly, to me, Odyssey Jones should be in the world title picture just off the mere fact of his size, and I think it would be more realistic for him to face Bron Breakker, which I just gave away the last match result because we're, you know, transitioning into it anyway. Before the world championship match, the NXT championship match between Ciampa and Bron Breakker, Von Wagner comes out, or Andre Chase comes out. He offers a scholarship I don't think they gave him a name. It's the student the one that almost got thrown off the roof last week. He got a scholarship, and then Von Wagner comes down and brutally attacks everybody. I like what they're doing with Von Wagner. I really do. It was a lot of in between the women's championship and the men's championship. There was a lot of vignettes going on. At the same time, you had Boa had a vignette, which was very good. I like these vignettes that they're putting on in NXT. He struggled with the quote-unquote power that controlled him. He's fighting Solo Sikoa next week. Excuse me. You had Mackenzie Mitchell in all of her glorious hotness. Interviewing Alexa Lopez in all of her glorious hotness about, you know, the whole Zion Quinn, Santos Escobar issue. And she said, look, yeah, they're both going to have a match next week. Whoever wins is who I'm leaving with. Which, I don't know. My initial thought was, are they trying to do like a Mexican soap opera storyline? Because this is what it sounds like. Two men fighting over the woman, right? That's what it sounds like. And I don't know if that's what they're... Which, I mean, that's what most love angles are anyway. I mean, that's what wrestling is it's a soap opera for men. I love Santos Escobar. I have no reason in the world to care about Zion Quinn. I hope Santos wins. I'll just be honest with you. And then, we get to the main event, which commercial free. It was, if there's a word to describe it, it was mid. It was like a 3 out of 5. It was good enough in that it accomplished the purpose that it set out to do. And I don't think that Bron Breakker is as green as people say he is. I just think that his style is more 80s, 90s style, and it differs from what Ciampa does. I just don't think there's that chemistry there between the two. A lot of people are going to say Bron got too big of a push, but I always feel, first off, there's no reason for Ciampa to be champion if NXT is developmental, which it is. NXT is developmental. I hate to break it to you. NXT is developmental. I personally wish it went on Peacock and was a Peacock exclusive and was not on main TV. Because it's on main TV, people are still going to assume that it's, you know, a main product. It's developmental. It's developing the next generation of superstars. That is literally the purpose of NXT. It just happens to be on live TV. I would love it back on Peacock as a 1-hour special, where you show like 3 matches and a whole bunch of vignettes. That's what I would do to get me to know. Or if I was them, I would have these quarterly specials and takeovers. Like I would do like New Year's Eve on TV, Halloween Havoc could be on TV, They do a, like two or three more other than that. I would do those on TV and do the main programming on Peacock, 1 hour specials, bunch of vignettes, and like three matches. The vignettes are what tells the story, right? I wouldn't do, and when I mean vignettes, I mean promo as well. Like storytelling, not in ring, right? That goes against, you know, that goes to my philosophy that I believe that in a feud, right? If you're going to have a 3-month feud, like on the main roster, right? Let's just say Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar feud all the way to WrestleMania, right? To me, it would make more sense to not have these two meet until the Mania match. Now, if they're just going to meet at Rumble, even still, Bobby Lashley is now the number one contender for the championship for Brock Lesnar's belt at Royal Rumble, right? I don't want to see them in the same ring together until Royal Rumble. I don't want to see them do no contract signing where one of them goes through the table. I don't want to see them, right? Especially now that they're acknowledging they're at least selling for COVID. And the only reason they're doing it is because their face of the company has COVID and they have to use it as a reason for why he couldn't show up, right? I mean, the entire burst of the pandemic, the whole Thunderdome era, they no-sold the hell out of COVID, right? So now that you're acknowledging it, right, have it be, well, we're not going to do contract signings in person. We're going to have them, you know, virtually or over, and then have pre-recorded. You know how they do, like, the pre-recorded, like, call-ins to different shows and stuff? Or, like, this, do that, right? Backstage vignettes from Brock Lesnar on his farm in Canada calling into the show to sit there to sign the contract, right? Do something like that. I lost my train. I'll be honest with you. I lost my train of thought. Lashley and Lesnar. So let's just say they're feuding to Rumble, right? I don't want to see the actual Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley in the same ring together to fight. I don't want to see them touch each other until the actual match. That's my philosophy. So when it comes to, you know, someone like, let's say, Bron Breakker, I personally would use NXT. I would have one show a quarter, something like New Year's Evil, two-hour special on USA. But you only do that once a quarter. And it's like, other than TakeOvers, right? And but TakeOvers would be on Peacock anyway, right? Or even if it's like a once-a-month thing, where you have a once-a-month special for NXT, and you're only on once a month on TV, and you're building up from special to special, using NXT on Peacock as a 1 hour special the other weeks to build, you know, to have vignettes, promos, and like two matches a week. I that's how I would book it. Develop characters, give me a reason to care for them, and then have your monthly special and, you know, four takeovers a year. That, to me, that's what I would do if I was head director of NXT. I just, with it being developmental, there was no reason for Ciampa to be champion, so I'm glad he dropped the belt. Bron Breakker is going to be the face of that brand. I think he's not as green as people say he is, right? He looked fantastic in the ring today. Like, he's not the best, but neither was Austin, neither was Hogan. I mean, Flair had his bouts, but his WWE run, right, can you, I mean, he was good, but, you know, who were the big faces? Hogan? Hogan was a big face. He could do, like, two moves. Cena, five moves, right? Austin, in the Stone Cold gimmick, I mean, I can only remember him doing, like, five moves. The Rock only could do like 5 moves. Roman Reigns only does about 5 moves. Right? Goldberg for like forever only did spear jackhammer. Repeat. And even for now, that's all he really does. Right? And so you don't necessarily have to be good in the ring in WWE. He can tell a story. He's damn good on the mic. And he does what he needs to do in the ring very well. He doesn't go overboard. I wish he would stay on the mat and stop doing all the high-risk shit. It just doesn't fit him, right? I don't want to see him do that. I don't think... I mean, he's wrestled, what, 10 times in his entire career? Right? And a lot of people saying he never earned the spot. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're in WWE, I don't care if you earned it or not. You're there. Right? And that's the thing that irritates me about wrestling fans. And because I know the critique is going to be... He's wrestled 10 matches his entire career. He hasn't earned or paid his dues. And it pisses me off when people say that. I'm going to be honest with you. It pisses me off when people, he never paid his dues. What do you mean he never paid his dues? What, because he didn't spend 15 years grinding on the indie circuit in bingo halls? Doesn't mean he doesn't deserve, right? He's been busting his ass off at the PC, right? I mean, he's been signed for like a year and a half now. Putting in work at the PC, right? And is he? I don't think he's green. He's not, you know, the most talented in the ring, right? But he could tell a story. He knows what he's doing. They wouldn't put him there with Ciampa if they didn't think he knew what he was doing. And the whole pay your dues thing just pisses me off, right? At the height of Conor McGregor's career, when he was beating everyone's ass, if he showed up on WWE and became world champion, would you have bitched? I wouldn't have, because he put asses in seats, right? If Jake Paul were to show up on WWE and have a match with someone like, say, Brock Lesnar, right? Now, Brock wouldn't lose to Jake Paul. I refuse to believe that Brock would okay losing a championship to Jake Paul. But even still, if Jake Paul showed up, people would just complain, why is he on the card? When Bad Bunny was on the WrestleMania card, people were bitching. There's so many people in the back that could have had that spot. Those same people, though, were praising him when he did his in-ring stuff, right? He paid the dues that he needed to pay to be in that match. He trained, he busted his ass off, he did a fantastic job, right? And he put asses in seats. And that's all that matters. When it comes to building your business, when it comes to building your company, if you want longevity, you can't only book the very technical wrestlers to win. Because there's going to be part of the crowd like me, like the rest of the casual fans that watch wrestling, who don't give two shits, who know it's a predetermined story, and that's what they want to see. They want to see a story, right? I'm not going to speak for the entire fan base, right? But from 2001, when WCW got bought, right? Towards the beginning of the Ruthless Aggression era, towards the end of the Attitude era, I would say around that time we would have a peak. Like, that's where it sort of ended, to the peak, right? From 98 to about 2000 is, I would say, the industry's peak. They had about anywhere between 7 to 10 million people watching between Nitro and Raw every Monday. 7 to 10 million people, right? An average show, like if you were to put Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, NXT, and Rampage. Those 5 shows, right? That's AEW's 2 shows and the 3 shows for WWE. If you were to put them together, right? You see, Raw averages about 1.5. Rampage averages, I'm going to say, about 500,000. So that's 2 million. Dynamite gets... I'm gonna say 1 million. I'm gonna be fair and say 1 million. So that's 3 million. SmackDown gets about 2 million. So that's 5 million. And NXT gets about 600,000. So let's just say if you added up all the viewers all the numbers combined for the ratings, about 5.5 million people. Here's the issue with doing that. The 1 million that watch Dynamite are the same 1 million who watch anything else, right? So it's the same fan base. So there's about 3 million people in America who watch wrestling, which is far, far down. That's 70% loss. That's a 70 to 80% loss of your audience. From 2000 to 2022, you've lost 80% of your audience. And why is that? I believe, and I'm ranting here, but I believe that the reason that the casual fan left is because the thing that drew the casual fan wasn't the in-ring fucking matches, right? What was probably the most famous match in WrestleMania history in the Attitude Era? I would say Stone Cold and Rock was probably the most talked about match. Probably the most watched match in wrestling history. Right? I think the only match other than that that I can think of that maybe could be seen as a better match in terms of fan appreciation for it. Of course, Flair's retirement match, people will always remember. But I think the only thing that would stick in my mind if someone says big-time WrestleMania moment, like I think Rock, Stone Cold, and I think Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania 30. The only two, like when someone says WrestleMania, name your favorite WrestleMania match, those are the two that show up in my mind, right? And I don't necessarily think, so the Daniel Bryan part that I remember, I don't remember a damn detail about the match itself. What I remember is he won and the crowd went fucking insane. Right? That's the only thing I remember about that match itself. Like, I don't remember, I don't care about your in-ring work. I don't care how technical you are. I don't. Can you tell me a story? And Daniel Bryan, while he's good in the ring, people love him, right? And I think he's an A+, like one of the best active, not because he's good in the ring, but because he could tell a story. And then there's an added bonus that he can be very, very good in the ring, right? And so I think the reason 80% of the audience is left is the things that drew the casual fan was the story, right? People wanted to tune in to see Stone Cold beat the fuck out of McMahon, right? But they didn't want to see, at least I didn't want to see growing up, the Cruiser. I didn't care about the Cruiserweight division. I didn't care about the Tag Team division. I didn't care about the shit in the ring. I wanted to see Shane get his balls electrocuted. I wanted to see Stone Cold beat the shit out of McMahon. I wanted to see, I mean, let's be honest, bra and panties matches. I was a kid growing up. Like, I thought that was a great era, right? I made a post on Facebook in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in, basically saying if we went back to that, to where we had some, you know, the girls that don't have that aren't super talented but have assets in other areas that can entertain, that one, they could get over better. There'd be something for them to do, and it would bring casual fans back. Could you imagine being a channel flipper? I don't want to watch the news tonight. There's no football on tonight. There's nothing else on TV tonight. I'm going to flip through these channels, and you land on USA Network, and you have Lana and Mandy Rose in a bra and panties match. Would you not say, this is interesting, right? The casual fan, I mean, if you look at the audience, most wrestling fans are, for the most part, are straight white males, right? And that's where the audience is. Most of the people who watch wrestling, straight white males. I don't see why. I get the whole TV thing, but you don't need to do bra and panties matches, right? But there's no reason why you can't sexualize characters. Right? The women do it themselves. They post bikini pictures. They all have Patreon or OnlyFans. Right? They sexualize themselves. And you can't tell me that a lot of the women don't do these photo shoots thinking that men are going to click on them. Right? And what blows my mind is they know that there's perverts in the group. And I'm not supporting men. Stop DMing these women. They don't want you. Men, stop it. They don't want you. Right? But y'all going to complain when you get the sexual messages. Like, that's what happens. Right? And again, I'm not condoning it. Men, please stop. Like, there's no reason for it. But this is my rant. I really wanted to make this longer than it had to be. In the end, other than Cora Jade eating the pen, I think that's the only thing that I hated about the show was that Cora Jade ate the pen. I would give it like an 8 out of 10 in terms of how I would rate the show. It wasn't like, there were some takeover qualities to it, but I always feel like they always go that extra level. I think the biggest complaint, now that I just remembered this, the Kevin Dunn style fucking camera changes, where it changes camera angles every 2 seconds. That's annoying as shit. That bucktooth beaver motherfucker. Can we stop, man? Like, for real. Like, there's no need for it. We don't need to change camera angles every 20 seconds. It's distracting. It's annoying. It just takes away. Like, I can understand if, you know, the camera angle it's on is on the opposite side of the ring and a move is happening and you flip it to the move happening, but when you flip it to the move and then 2 seconds later you flip it from the opposite side of the ring and then you flip it from long distance and then you go to the fan cam, it's annoying, right? I don't want to see the fans during the match. I don't. I want to see the match. I'm just being honest with you. I don't care about the fan reactions. I can hear it and that's all that matters. I know they're trying to grab, you know, facial expressions because they can use those for memes or they could use those for, like, vignettes and marketing. And a lot of these people, you know, like Ms. Girl, Liv Girl. I mean, hell, I even think the Undertaker streak guy, the guy with the wide open, I think he was a plant. I read something that he was a plant. A lot of these reactions are plants. They're seat fillers, or they're people that they give tickets to solely have that reaction. I don't believe Undertaker guy was a plant. I think that was a genuine reaction. That it's harder for me to believe that one. But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed New Year's Evil. Let me know what you think. Follow me on Twitter, UnhingedWP, UnhingedWP. This has been another episode of the Unhinged Wrestling Podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your night. And the next episode, I'm going to Battle of the Belts on Saturday. If I can make it home and I'm not tired, I'll have a podcast up talking about the show itself that night. It won't be live. I might have some pictures up on Twitter. But I'm sometime either Saturday night, Sunday morning, I'll have a pod. Sometime Sunday at the latest, I'll have a podcast up about Battle of the Belts. I hope you have a great rest of your night, day, wherever you're listening to, and I will see you on the next episode. Thank you.